It's got the scriptures in it.
Jason's got Bibles.
Oh. Acts chapter 8. I had this message last week, just in case we might need it. And it was in a total, almost different direction and a different title. One night this week, I was awakened in the middle of the night and had a whole new message. Same words, new message. So we've taken steps. Since the beginning of the year, our theme has been forward in harvest. And just about everything that we've said and everything we've done has been about the harvest. Each one win one. One soul for this year. So you've got 52 weeks, 365 days to win one soul. That's been our emphasis, that's been our theme, that's been our call. Jesus, the Bible says, went about doing good. A part of that doing good was attracting people to himself. Anytime you're giving the truth, you're attracting people. Anytime you're lifting up Jesus, you're attracting people. We have a story here of a movement of God. I love God when God's moving. It's just exciting but mysterious to watch the move of God. I saw firsthand that power of God working in lives. First, he started working in my life. And it was the strangest thing, the way it all happened. It happened because of a nosy guy that I worked with. He was my boss. He was the Assembly of God boy. I wasn't anything. I thought I was, but I wasn't. And he asked me the stupidest question that anybody could ever ask. Somebody like me. Are you saved? Only an idiot would have known that I was not saved. And I said, yeah, I'm saved. About 10 minutes later, he looked up and I'm cutting cabbage, working at a Winn-Dixie. And he looks at me and he says, but are you saved? And I, not very kindly, said, yes, dummy. Now shut up about that. About 10 minutes later, I'm almost finished with the cabbage. And that nosy dude said, but are you really saved? And I cussed him. And I had a knife in my hand. And I said, I will cut you if you don't shut your mouth. And I did something that I never did before. Never. I clocked out early. I don't want to go all through that. But I clocked out early. Got on my motorcycle and started home. I was mad as a hornet. God has a way of taking care of that. Oh, man, some of you need to get mad because God will take care of you. He'll put you in a place. And that place, you'll have to listen to him because you won't be able to do anything else. That's what he did. And he saved people over the next year. That it was absolutely astounding. Some of the roughest, some of the meanest, some of the dregs of society, they were getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. It was unbelievable what God did in that year's time. Something similar to that has taken place here. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. For 20 some odd years. 16 of those years as your pastor. It's been my privilege to stand behind this pulpit and preach in this church. Through those years, I have tried my best to have one theme that everybody could see. And that is Jesus. That's the only theme that I've wanted to put before you is Jesus. No other theme in all the world will challenge the attendance and the attention of men, women, and young people for any length of time. Anything else you throw out there, it won't be long before they'll lose interest. But if you lift up Jesus, lift up Christ, you keep putting him out in front, you'll never get tired of that. Young or old, it doesn't really matter. Because Jesus, everywhere, verifies the pledge and the prophecy that he gave us in John chapter 12, verse 32. He said, if I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. I've seen him do it over and over and over and over. The 8th chapter of Acts reveals what my thoughts are for this message, this series. Acts chapter 8, verse 5 and verse 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And verse 8 says, and there was great joy in that city. The faithful preaching of Christ. The sharing of Jesus always brings joy to people. It takes some longer to get there than others, like me. They may cuss you. They may threaten to cut you. But they'll get there. Don't stop. Because it will come, that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And you only get that through Jesus. No faithful work that's done for Jesus is ever lost. Please understand that. When you are doing something for Him, He says, my word will never come back void. He didn't say how quick it was coming back. Some boomerangs are fast and some are slow. But it's coming back. So no faithful work that's done for Him will ever be lost. And our story in this eighth chapter shows the remarkable results that came from teaching of Jesus. When Philip took the road going down, and he made it to Samaria, and he preached to them the only thing, the only way where men might come to Jesus. So let's look at the story. Point one is the story. Years before this moment, Jesus had passed through this very community. Jesus had stopped on his way to Galilee, and he paused by Jacob's well, and he rested there while his disciples went into a neighboring village to get some food. Jesus was weary from his travel. So while the weary Savior rested by the well, he was right on time because there was a woman that came to the well to get some water. It was strange for that time of day. Usually women went early in the morning to get their water. This was around noon. By this time, most women were making lunch or food for their family, and they were very busy. This woman came at that time. Jesus had an appointment. If you look back, you'll see that he told his disciples, I must go this way. He had an appointment with a woman at the well. And he wasn't late, and neither was she. She came out, and it could be because of what she had been through, who she was. The other women of that little village might not have accepted her. Maybe they were a little snooty toward her. Now, I know none of you ever get snooty, so that's a good word for me to say for y'all. Maybe they didn't want to have anything to do with her. I mean, she'd been around at least five times. Jesus never lost an opportunity. When he was walking the earth, he looked for opportunities to be able to speak a word to a needy heart. You know, sometimes you and I, we see people that are hurting every day. Maybe someone that's lost a loved one, or maybe somebody that's struggling in a job, or maybe a sickness or an illness or some need, financial, whatever it may be. And sometimes we don't take advantage of that. When we could speak into their lives and maybe change their situation by something that we say. Jesus never missed an opportunity like that. He made sure that he was always speaking something into somebody's life. This was his chance to speak to a lady, a poor lady, a wreck of a lady, this Samaritan woman. Now, the Samaritans were hated by the Jews. And the Jews were hated by the Samaritans. They clashed all the time. But Jesus had an appointment with a lady that his people hated, but that he loved. So this Samaritan woman comes. She's got her pot. She's going to get some water. Jesus was not there to beat her up because of her reputation. He was not there to point out the flaws in her character. Our story shows perfectly well why he was there. He was there to draw her in. He was there to bring hope. He was there to bring the joy to her heart. He came on purpose to save the lost. And he knew that she was about as lost as anybody he'd ever come across. Every one of us are clothed with immortality. Every person sitting in this building, every person that's listening to me right now over the web or wherever, every one of you will live in immortality, either in heaven or hell. Not a third option. Those are our choices. And the choice we make while we're still in this life determines where we spend our eternity. Jesus knew that, and that's why he came. John 3:17 says, I came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. Came to seek and to save that which was lost. So Jesus begins the conversation. This filthy woman. She walks up. He's sitting beside the well. She's expecting to have ice cold silence. Or maybe he would even get up and walk away. Or maybe he would rebuke her. Get away from me. But that's not the way that things developed. He began the conversation, and whenever he did, she became very interested. She was puzzled by it all. The conversation revealed to her that Jesus knew all about her sordid life. He understood why she was a social outcast. But yet he was talking to her in a very kind voice. He told her that what she needed was the water of life, which only he could give. What a way to start a conversation. You drink this water, you're going to get thirsty again. But if you drink the water that I gave you, you'll never thirst again. Shazam. That would blow you away. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we walked up to somebody this week and said, I know that you're hurting inside. I know that you have a need. I can see it. I can introduce you to somebody that can cure that need right now. Bet you a dollar that they'd say, who? Now you say, Jesus. And they're going to say, I've heard that before. Say, yeah, you've heard it, but you hadn't experienced it. And you can begin just to talk to them. That's what was going on here. There was a conversation. You drink this water, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink the water that I give you, you will never thirst. And she was interested. And she pops it off, man. She wants him to know. I know a few things about all of this. Yeah, we've had prophets that have told of somebody that was going to come. And she said in John 4:25, I know that Messiah is coming who is called the Christ. And when he comes, he's going to tell us all things. At that moment, Jesus did something he hadn't done before. Jesus took a step that he had not taken since he had been on earth. He revealed himself to her, an outcast of society. He told her, I am the Messiah. The one that you're talking about, that the prophets talked about, I am he. He that talks to you right now is the one. I'm the one that was foretold by the prophets. I am here to save the hurting. I am here to touch the needy. I am here for the condemned sinner. I am here for you. On that conversation developed. Her heart was just getting heavier and heavier, and she was being drawn more and more. She could see her need looming there, and she could see the peace that was in this man. There was a shamefulness over her sin. There was a shamefulness for the way that she had lived her life. It was there in her words. It was there on her face. Jesus could see it. She could feel it. I sat in a jail cell talking with a gentleman about Jesus and the love of Christ. And he said, man, you're wasting your time. You don't know what I've done. And I said, I don't have to know what you've done. God knows what you've done. And he sent me here to talk to you. He said, you don't understand. I said, yeah, I understand. I don't know that you've done that much that I haven't done. And he said, somebody like you? I told him a few things, and he says, wow, you're worse than I was. If God can touch me, he can touch anybody. If he can change me, he can change anybody. If he can meet the needs that were in my life, my wife's life, he can meet any need that you've got. If you'll just give it to him and trust him with it. He was telling her all things. John chapter 4 verse 26. I that speak to you am he. She understood. She knew. That conversation made her heart so heavy. The shamefulness made her step back. But there was something in her heart that blew her away. She believed his words. And there beside that well, she accepted him as that divine Messiah. She said, I know you're him. You've told me everything. Suddenly, the water pot was not important anymore. And she abandoned that pot beside the well and ran back into the city on the very first missionary venture to her Samaritan people. There was great crowds. Some of the dudes standing on the corner that heard what she was saying, they knew every soiled moment of her life. And they said, wow. And they came out of the city to hear what Jesus had to say. The disciples were blown away by what was going on. He said, what are you doing talking to these people? You know, there's always some religious folks that'll set you straight. I mean, they'll even set Jesus straight. You got no business moving around among that crowd. Those people don't deserve what you've got. And they'll tell you, you don't need to be talking to them. Back off. Great crowds came to hear what Jesus had to say. Now, I want you to learn something and learn it well. I need to learn and learn it well. Never forget, no faithful work done for Jesus, for Christ, will ever fail. It's never lost, and it'll never fail. It will bear fruit. So you say the words. Let God handle the rest. You do what you can do. The only thing that we're asked to do is share. Tell what happened to you. This is what happened to me. Jesus came into my life and he changed everything. I have a peace I can't explain. I have a joy that is unbelievable. I have a myriad of problems, almost as many as I had before, but he helps me handle them. And you just lay it out there. He'll help you too. If you've labored for God, I'm here to tell you that if your work has been faithful, led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to get baskets of fruit. There's going to be results. Whether it's in a Sunday school class of hard-headed people. And most Sunday school classes are full of hard-headed people. Some are young and some are old. The older they get, the harder their head is, I think. Just saying. I'm not passing judgment. I don't want you to think it. I'm meddling. And no, Susan hadn't been talking to me about you. I've taught the adults for a long time myself. When the Holy Spirit is involved, whether you're a mom and a dad that don't know anything, most of us, according to our children, don't know too much. I don't know if you've realized that. You're old-fashioned. That was back in your day when they didn't have indoor plumbing. If you'll just hold on to Jesus and keep just presenting Him, He will have His way. You can be among the meanest friends that anyone could ever have. You might have co-workers that can peel the paint off the wall with their language. You keep just laying Jesus out there. Keep on loving them. Don't tell them how they need to change. Don't say, if you'd stop that kind of talk, because they're just going to rebel against you. Just smile and say, I like you. You might hate his guts, but I like you. Say, well, that's a lie. No. The Bible says love everybody. So you just love them. Listen to some of the promises Jesus made if we'll do what we're supposed to do. Isaiah 55:11. My word shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now, God's not beating around the bush. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing well or doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. 1 Corinthians 3:6. Paul may plant, Apollos may water, but after a while the increase comes from God. He gives it. You and I are only laborers. We're in a harvest field. Jesus looked out and he said to his disciples and to all disciples and believers that would come after him, look at the harvest. It is white with readiness, with ready to reap. Son. God is ready if we're ready. He will save to the uttermost. I know what the uttermost is because I've gone from the gutter to the uttermost. And I like where I'm at now better than where I was at then. And most of you are right there with me. Not only will God work in everything that His word goes out for, this great ministry of soul saving, He's asked me and you to work with Him. Wouldn't it be marvelous if somebody, I don't know, Picasso, somebody said, would you work with me on this? Said, are you kidding? Yeah. Einstein. The President of the United States call you. Say, would you work with me for a little while? Come to Washington and work with me. Not many of you'd say no. I'd consider it an honor, sir. Whoever it may be. What if God says to you, come on, work with me. We're going to see a harvest like you just won't believe. We should be just as quick to say, sure, I'd love to. And if we'll go trustfully, submissively, obediently, wholeheartedly, being assured by faith. As it says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in the vain and not in vain in the Lord. If you and I will do that, then there's going to be a joy a peace that will follow us around. I didn't get as far as I thought I was going to get in this. I wanted to get to point two real bad because that's the joy. But seeing as how it's going to take 30 minutes, I don't think you want to hang around for. So let me leave you with this for today. Jesus is looking for laborers. He's given you a guarantee. If you'll work with me, you'll see a harvest. If you'll work with me, you'll see lives changed. You'll see people that were bound for hell turn around and on their way to heaven. You will benefit and be blessed if you'll come and work for me. The wages that he pays are eternal. I wish we all would be forward in harvest. But it takes one thing. It takes surrender on our part. Kneeling beside my bed in Hickory Hills, just south of Lake Placid, I said, God, I surrender everything I am to you. Everything I ever will be, I give it to you. Do with me as you please. Over 40-something years ago, Susan and I, coming up on our... I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, you know, I've been married most of my life. And I said, how long you been married? 20 years. I said, yeah, I know what you mean. And I said, how long you been married? Coming up on 47. With the same woman? Yeah, because about 2 years after we got married, we got saved. Her life changed. My life changed. And it's been a hoot since then. Jesus will change your marriage. Jesus will change your life. But you'll have to surrender to him. Give him everything you are. Bow your heads with me, would you please?